Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 736. I am Chris, as always. Chris. I'm like, what is my name? I'm joined by Tony.
I'm pretty sure I heard Donald Trump talking good things about the Ukraine today. So I think the rapture did happen. I'm pretty sure.
That would be great if some people have been raptured. Unfortunately, I think
half the podcast has been raptured.
Yeah, they're not here currently. Earl and Jeff are up in heaven. Jeff is taking muscle relaxers, so he may very well actually be in heaven right now, depending upon how strong they are. He said his back was really killing him, so. Which is a shame because Jeff had played a bunch of new games. New is, I guess, a strong word. He was still playing Kronos, so that's new. And he just had picked up Dragon Quest III, the remake of that. So he had those to talk about, but he's not here. So who cares about those games?
Fuck those games.
Yeah. But Tony, you're playing a new game, Endless Legend 2?
Endless Legend 2, yes. This is the sequel to Endless Legend, which may have probably ended since there's another one.
Yeah, it's Endless Legend 2, not a great title.
It's made by the same studio that makes Endless Space and Endless Space 2.
If you
played those games, space, not endless. So
weird.
It is a 4X game. It's in the style of like Civilization. So there's like a hex grid and you move people around.
Yep.
The premise of the tutorial, because I've only played through the tutorial portion of it, but the tutorial is massive. It's not like it actually launches you right into a campaign. You are this civilization that's fleeing and gets flying through space and gets caught on this planet. And now you have to rebuild. The planet has like hostile enemies and there's all these areas where you can build cities and grow. I think one of the interesting things about the game is that the environment changes as you play. And I had no idea when I launched into the game that this was the case. So, like, I'm moving my guys around the map. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take this area and take this area. And then there's this cutscene, and the entire world starts shaking. And then new areas start rising out of the ocean. And so those areas that I thought were, like, corners of my empire to make it easy to expand and defend weren't anymore.
I have this nice natural barrier of water over here. It's easier to defend. Oh no, I don't. Now they're
no, it's gone. And like they're like choke points where you can build, like, if you played Civilization, you've played like any of these games, now you can build like fortresses and like areas that you could force enemies to go through. And so I built fortresses very key points, and they don't matter anymore because there's there's land on the other side of that mountain range that was impassable before, and now enemies can just walk right around. So that's great. It has an interesting combat system where you build like armies and move them around, and then when two armies meet, it like deploys those armies in like the surrounding terrain and you fight a little turn-based battle.
Okay.
Which is cool. It's sort of like, I don't want to say Total War-esque because it's not real time. The battles are more like Final Fantasy Tactics would be a really good analogy. Some of your units are hero units, and as they fight and as they do stuff, they gain experience and they have like level up trees. And it's like a full RPG with those guys. They have like equipment that you can collect and change. And they have abilities they can unlock as they get stronger. So that's all really cool. I think the biggest hook of the game is something I haven't actually gotten into yet. And it's that there are a bunch of different civilizations. And each one exists within this game, but for each one, the gameplay is completely different. So, like, they use the resources that exist in the world differently. They have different objectives and different goals. Like, each one is basically playing an entirely different game, which is super cool. So I am looking forward to getting out. I put maybe 5 hours into the first playthrough. I'm kind of thinking, you know, maybe I'll stop and switch to one of the other ones to see how different they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember playing the first game, like, for one of the civilizations, there's this resource, dust, that everybody can collect. And one of them uses it as currency. One of the other ones eats it.
Oh.
So it's one of those, like, that some of them try to avoid it. It's very like, you have each one plays so differently. It's a miracle that they've managed to put this game together in a way that works and is balanced.
Early access.
It is early access. It looks pretty good so far. It does need to be optimized pretty badly. I did notice a ton of pop in when I was watching that opening cutscene. They definitely need to do some work there. But obviously, early access. I was super worried about September, October, November of this year because of how many games are coming out. I'm like, how am I going to get all these games?
Yeah. So
when it popped up, when this one popped up on Game Pass, I was like, yes. Thank you, Hooded Horse. You've come through again.
Yeah, that's nice. It's always nice when we get some stuff on Game Pass from
becoming my favorite strategy game publisher solely because they put all of their stuff onto Game Pass. I played a bunch of things on there.
Yeah, I'm looking at some screenshots on Steam where it's currently on sale for $40. So that's not a bad price anyway. Very pretty looking, like for a 4X game, like very detailed environments. And so, yeah, this one looks pretty cool. Well, keep us updated on that one. Any Total War this week?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of Total War. I had not yet started my ogre campaign when we were talking last week. So I played as the ogres. Interesting thing about the faction I chose, they were ogre mercenaries.
Okay.
So with almost every other faction in Total War, like, you're trying to, like, create an empire and expand and conquer stuff. In this case, the goal is just make money and acquire meat, because, you know, ogres like to eat, so, you know, give them all the meat.
Sure.
So you're, like, getting hired on these contracts by different powers around the world. And one of the interesting aspects about these contracts, your faction leader, as soon as you receive the contract, can warp all of the way across the map to a city of whoever offered the contract, which has always been one of the annoying things about Total War. Your armies kind of get stuck sometimes having to walk all the way across the map to get to where the conflict is actually going on. You are instantly there now with your faction leader's army, which is always the strongest one that you have. So that's kind of cool. And you're not, again, you're not trying to take over territory. You're just kind of trying to fulfill these contracts. And I think beating the campaign was actually just finishing 25 contracts. It had nothing to do with, like, actually conquering things, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace from, you know, the pretty standard, this is how you win in Total War.
Yeah, paint the map. We were not painting the map except with the corpses of our enemies, because the ogres are fucking strong. The most interesting unit, they have these guys called Lead Belchers. They're just ogres who are using cannons as pistols. So, like, you're just lining up a group. They're not even that large. It's like most of the units in Total War, they're like between 60 and like 120 guys. These guys line up in a group of 16 And they just all stand up and they're holding cannons. And you just watch the enemy just blow to kingdom come. Like the enemy will be running across the map right at you. And then you will just see their guys like flying the other direction. Because these guys are just literally holding cannons and just shooting them right in their faces. Very, very entertaining. Probably one of my favorite missile units in the game. So I finished that campaign though, because when you could fly around the map and you only need to complete 25 contracts, it doesn't take very long.
Right.
So now I've moved on to the Greenskins, who are like the orc goblin people.
Okay.
They are fun because, much like in Lord of the Rings, they overwhelm enemies with huge numbers of orcs. They could do this thing called a warg. I don't have no idea if I'm pronouncing that properly, but basically they declare war on whoever.
Okay.
And for the next 20 turns, every single army they own is followed by a second AI-controlled army. So basically every battle you're fighting, you have twice as many troops as you did before. And these guys, you just kind of just throw them in there.
Yeah, they just become fodder at that point.
Yeah. So you have this like army, you're just I'm so used to like setting up my main army and deploying it and fighting them away. And now I'm just like, okay, we're gonna hide in the back and wait for the second army to arrive. Okay, they're here. Everybody go. Very brute force, very, very orcish tactic. So quite enjoying that right now. The faction leader I'm using is pretty cool. He gets bonuses for using different combinations of units in battle.
Mm-hmm.
So it like encourages you to keep doing different tactics. And as he does different tactics, he unlocks other tactics. That's kind of the thing. You keep doing these tactics to get like different bonuses for your troops while you're fighting in the field, to do cooler and cooler things. But he's fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Orcs are fun. I'm enjoying them.
Good. Orcs are fun.
They are.
I played some stuff as well. It's a shame Earl isn't here with us, because I also jumped into Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. And I don't know if I like that game. It's not Vampire Survivor. It is not.
Oh, no.
And Earl explained a little bit of this last week, but you drop into the map and your little dwarf guy, he's a miner. So that is one of the cool things about it, is that there's environment that is destroyable. So you could kind of like make tunnels and escape routes from hordes of enemies that are coming, or like, oh shit, I'm backed up against the wall. You just turn around and like dig your way out, or create a choke point for yourself. Bigger enemies can also destroy terrain, so you can't just like dig yourself back and then just like be blasting them from the hallway, because if once bigger like spider alien creatures start coming, they'll just tunnel themselves through, so you still have to constantly be moving. I guess the big thing though is that it's wave based, which is fine, because that's, you know, Vampire Survivors was as well, but Vampire Survivors was very much, what was it, like a half hour? You got to survive for like a half hour.
Yeah, and then it was game over.
And it was over.
They did the things that, and they would kill you.
So this drops you down, and there's like five little pips on like a meter. And as you kill enemies, like that meter fills up, and then you'll hit certain points on it. Like you'll fill up a pip, and it'll be like a swarm is coming, so like a big group of enemies attacks you. And then the final one is like a boss. So you'll fill it up, fight the boss. Once you fight the boss, then a clock jumps up on the screen. It's like, you have 30 seconds to reach the drop pod. And so basically it's a level. Like once you get to the drop pod, you'll drop down and then it'll start over again on a new map with new terrain. So it's not just survive.
Oh God.
In this one area, it's you're continuing to like drop down level to level. I'm not sure where it ends. I did not finish what they call a dive. As of yet, I only played three runs so far. The other thing about it is, so Vampire Survivors had like cool weapons, and like you would get the weapons and you would pick all the weapons up and you would then pick up their like matching, or maybe you would pick up their matching thing and they create like a super weapon.
Yeah, you'd upgrade everything.
Yeah, so there's upgrades here, but your little dwarf guy, he starts off with like, you only have one. You only start off with one character. There looks like there's four total. And your first guy, he starts off with like an assault rifle. And as you level up, as you kill enemies, you're going to pick up like the little pips that are experience points. And when you level up, it'll give you an option of like four things. Very much like Vampire Survivors, like where it's like, oh, you know, here's a, do you want this item or do you want that item, like from the chest? Actually, that, I don't even think that's how, that's only how it works at the end, is like, do you want gold or do you want a chicken?
Gold or chicken?
Yeah, this gives you a choice of like, hey, do you want to like upgrade your gun? Do you want to upgrade your health? Do you want to upgrade, you know, whatever? So it's not just based off like pickups that you're finding or the randomness of the chests. It is like you're making decisions like, how do you want to upgrade this? Once you reach level 5, then you'll unlock a second weapon slot. Once you reach level, I think 10, you'll unlock a third weapon slot, and then 15, I believe, which I have not gotten to yet, you'll unlock, it looks like, a fourth weapon slot. That's how many weapons you can carry. Four weapons. They all seem very like, they all seem shooterish. Like they're not, it's not like, oh, you know, here's the Castlevania whip and here's some crosses that fly around you, or the garlic that like it will create a void around you that hurts enemies as they walk on. It's all like, here's a gun, here's a shotgun, here's a grenade. It just doesn't,
like classic type weapons.
Yeah, they're all very standard shootery weapons. And I don't know, there's nothing like super intriguing about that. It's like, this is fine, I guess. It's all just a little bit boring, because like part of the fun of Vampire Survivors, all right, well, what does this weird item do? Oh yeah. No, this weird item actually hurts me. You know, this weird item like freezes time or something. Like, you don't know what the items do when you pick them up for the first time, and then finding the attachments to go and upgrade them is really kind of like part of the fun of Vampire Survivors. And that just, I don't see that here. Maybe I'm missing something early. So I think all of us probably had the same feeling with Vampire Survivors when we first started playing it. It was like, I don't really get the appeal. It's like,
yeah,
I'm just walking around and killing enemies. And then like after you play a few and you start to get that upgrade path, then you feel a little bit better about it. And it's like, yeah, this game's really fun. Maybe I hit a point with Deep Rock Galactic Survivor at some point with that. I'm not there yet. Also, the enemies are all like bugs. Like that was one of the cool things. Like, say we will, Vampire Survivor has a, like, they throw a ton of different enemies at you. They're all like classically, you know, styled, but like you get bats and zombies and ghosts and werewolves and all sorts of shit. There's probably like 100 different enemies in that game. And right now it's like there's like a beetle creature and a spider and a bigger spider, yeah, and a spider that explodes and a really big spider. It's like, cool, I guess I'm just fighting spiders in this game. Like, one of the cool things I will say about it, though, is that it has goals and missions that it's like, here's an objective for you to complete, like collect 250 gold. So like you can like you walk around, find gold deposits. And when you do that, it'll give you extra resources and stuff, which you can then spend to upgrade your character outside of the run. So you can actually like get permanent upgrades, much like Vampire Survivors, where you could buy with gold. But so there's a reason to do like these side quests and stuff that does seem neat, just not quite there. Not quite there with it yet. We'll see. You know, Earl's been playing it a little bit more. Our friend Walt's been playing it. Like he has, there's like 300 achievements in this game, but he's already up around 75 or 80 or something like that. So he's been playing a bunch of it. I have two. Like, and I'm like, I don't know. That's where Jeff is too. He played a little bit of it.
It was like, man.
Yeah, and you know, part of it is a thing that happens with Game Pass games where it's just like, if you don't like it, you can kind of just bounce off it. There's no, there's no cost outside of your membership. So anyway, that's Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. I'll probably poke at it a little bit more. Earl will probably poke at it. We'll talk about it in a couple weeks. I finished Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Ooh. Finally.
Yeah, finally. That game, I think my final play count on it was 24 hours. I think that is maybe 10 or 5 or 10 too many.
Oh, gosh.
I started losing, like, and this is my fault. As I said before with Jeff, early on playing that game, I'm doing like a lot of the challenge rooms and I'm trying to track all the bananas down. Once I got to about level 10 in that game, I didn't care anymore. Like I had so many bananas. I had upgraded all the stuff that was like visibly meaningful to me. And I just wanted it to kind of be done. So I mainlined it. It still took like 5-6 hours to finish from level 10. And the final level, which Jeff explained previously, is it is 9 sub-levels. So each area of the world has like sub-levels, and some of them have like multiple sub-levels within them. Sub-level 1600 has 9 sub-levels. So there's 9 levels to get through to get to the final boss. You get through all this, you get to the final boss. It's not a particularly fun fight. It took me a few tries to get through them. You beat the final boss, and it gives you an ending, and it starts rolling credits, except the credits are a joke, because once those credits, which are very quick, it's all stuff spelled with a K, because the boss that you just fought was K Rule. And once you beat him, it's then like, oh, let's make our wish. And you start going back up to the surface, because that's what Pauline has wanted all this time. And you're heading up to the surface, and Cave Rule attacks again. And you have to beat him on this like floating platform thing. You have to like throw items at him to knock him down until you get to the top. And then once you get to the top, then there's a real final level, which is, it's a chase sequence. The ground is like coming up like a gaseous. So like if you stay there too long, you'll die. So you always have to be moving and climbing until you get to another fight with K. Rule. So it's another boss fight, which is very similar to the first one you did with K. Rule, except he completely fucks over the entire area with this like noxious shit. So you have to like hit some of his items on there to create gold so that you have a place to stand so that you can continue to attack them. I was playing this while the Eagles were playing, Eagles and Rams were playing on Sunday. I was playing it through the third and fourth quarter of that. 7 times I tried to beat this asshole.
Oh my god.
Would not go. I wanted to snap my Switch 2 in half.
Like, die!
Yeah. I finally put it down, came back to it on Tuesday, beat it first time on Tuesday. It's like one of those, everyone's had that moment where you're just so frustrated with a game, and then you come back at another time and you just immediately, it wasn't hard at all. It was just a frustrating experience. Yeah, it's a fun game. I would not say it's going to be, like, it'll probably be on my top 10. Unless, like, there's maybe 5 or 6 really good games that come out between now and when we talk about Game of the Year. But I don't know. It's my favorite Donkey Kong game since the original. But that's not saying much, since I don't like Donkey Kong games. I think it's good, though. I think it's good. But last one I played... I played through and finished Sonic Team Racing, which was the last Sonic Racing game.
Ever.
No, because Crossworld's just released today. So the 4th Sonic Racing game has come out. And I really hope that game's better than Team Racing, because the courses are great. The actual driving is a lot of fun. Their structure of how they do progression in that game. One of the things that differentiates Sonic Racing from Mario Kart is that Mario Kart's progression is almost always just like, do the Grand Prix. That's how you're going to unlock your characters. That's how you're going to unlock your courses. Sonic has always had like a weird like adventure mode where there's like, oh, you're going to do a race here and you're going to get stars, and you'll do a challenge here, and you need X amount of stars to get to the next chapter, blah blah blah, whatever. And one of the challenges in a chapter is always do like a 4-race Grand Prix. That's all fine. The racing is fine. It's these challenges, and they force you to do some of these challenges, and they're hard and they're not fun. And they don't communicate them very well. I ended up yesterday, I was really frustrated with one. It's like, I'm not going to be able to beat this game because I cannot get by this challenge that is required to move to the next node.
Oh no.
Turns out that the instructions the game is telling you were completely wrong. You're supposed to be hitting these, it's like a slalom course, and you're supposed to be getting really close to the bar, which will get you the most amount of points. Well, there, one side is red, one side is yellow. The instructions are kind of like alternate them. Like, you want to do red, then yellow, so that you'll get a multiplier, plus you'll get, and the yellow gets you like a little bit boost in points. Really, all you want to do is always hit the red, because your multiplier is always going up. So if your multiplier is always going up and you can maintain that streak, doesn't matter if you're hitting the slightly more points from the yellow, because if you have a 2 or 3 point multiplier and you're getting 40 or so points, that's better than getting 42 points and losing your multiplier. So like I read up on it. It was like, do it this way, and immediately passed it. But it's like just frustrating. I could see kids, which is what a lot of kart racers are going to be played by, getting really frustrated with the structure of it. So I hope Crossworlds doesn't do that shit. Cause that game looks really good. And they're doing some neat things, which is a good segue right into the news. Because as part of TGS, Sega and Capcom announced that Mega Man is going to be coming to Sonic Crossworlds with as a driver, and as a they're gonna have a course in there. So Pac-Man's already gonna be in there now, Mega Man's joining. Like, oh, to right. See some other ones. Like, let's get some more like video game stuff dumped into this, like actually really go hard on the cross stuff.
Let's bring in Bub and Bob from Bubble Bobble.
Yeah. Yeah. I I mean, Nintendo has partnered with Sega before, so I'd really like, they never give them Mario probably, but give them somebody small. Like, send Yoshi over. I'd be fine with like Yoshi in there. Our buddy Walt suggested, like, he thinks it would be neat to have like Master Chief and like in a Warthog. I'm not sure that fits kind of the style that Sonic is, but I think they could probably find something in the Microsoft library to fill in there too. So some news out of TGS, Forza Horizon 6 was announced today.
All right. I like that series.
Yeah, it's going to be set in Japan, which makes sense why it was announced in Tokyo.
Yes.
So that's neat. That'll be next year. That is so far. I think that might be the only announced game that Microsoft has for next year right now.
Interesting. Wow. That's amazing. I like Japan as a setting a lot more than Mexico was the
Mexico,
last
one. Yeah.
Mexico, not that exciting to me. Japan, okay.
Yeah, I think Japan could be really neat because like they have like mountainous areas that could make for some really cool drifting areas. They also have like very dense cities and like some nice countryside stuff would. Like, I think it could really, really be cool driving along like the countryside overlooking the ocean. I think it could really work out really well. And there's not been any bad Horizon game yet. So here's hoping that Forza Horizon 6 is a good one. We're probably not going to get that until like this time next year, but
yeah.
I don't believe that you've played the Yakuza games. Earl, I believe, has played some of them, but they announced Yakuza Kiwami 3, which is the remake of 3. That is a series that somehow that studio is releasing like a game a year in.
Insane. Everyone else is like, oh, now it's going to take us 4 or 5 years to make a game. And they're like,
Yeah. RGG is just like, because they this year they released that Yakuza pirate game. The year before they released what I guess is like Yakuza 8, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth. Now they're doing this remake of 3. It's crazy that they are able to just get these games out on such a quick timeline.
Them and From Studios.
Yeah.
Like, here's a game every year. I mean, they're doing the same thing with Madden, but Madden sucks, so.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, the Yakuza games are generally considered very good. Madden, not so much.
Not good.
And they showed off a little bit of Kojima game for Xbox OD. I don't know. It looks like a horror game. He's also making another game for PlayStation called Pheasant. That looks basically like Metal Gear. he's just decided I'm going to do for Sony, and he's going to do his Silent Hill take. It's just not going to be called Silent Hill with Xbox, so. We'll hopefully be getting something on that soon. His games take forever to come out, though, and he just released one. So I don't expect we're going to be getting OD in the next couple years. Xbox increased their price again.
Like everyone did.
Yeah, yeah. They had already increased their prices. Was it a couple months ago? Series X had moved up to $600. It is now going to be $650. It's been a very weird generation. I know that tariffs are definitely a part of it. The main focus would be my guess here is that the tariffs are driving the price up on Microsoft everything. Here, but
yeah.
It is insane that system, we bought that system 5 years ago for $500 and it is now $150 more than it was when we bought it.
Which is like backwards. Like every other console generation has always gone down. Only time.
And like the Switch has increased in price. The PlayStation 5 has increased. Everything is increased in price. God help us. coincidentally, not coincidentally, we don't know. We just know that it was a business decision by Costco. They have stopped selling Xbox consoles in store and online. That's all they've said, was that it was a business decision. So
great.
I don't shop at Costco. I don't have a membership, but I think less options is a good thing.
You wonder, like, with the tariffs and everything that's happened, Microsoft is not passing the entire price onto the consumer. You wonder if they made that dividing line something that Costco was not comfortable with.
Yeah, because like historically, the consoles don't make a lot of money for anybody. And I wonder if it really just got to a point where like Costco's like, we're not making anything on this. Like,
yeah,
having shelf space, doing the shipping on it, it's not worth it for us anymore.
To sell it for like $5 less than MSRP, like
right,
like that's their entire profit margin now. Like that's probably it. Like the amount that they discounted by would be their entire profit margin. I bet that's the calculation.
You're probably very right. Xbox and ROG have opened pre-orders on the ROG Ally and Ally X. That is the Xbox branded handheld.
And that coming out in October.
It's like in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, which is really late for pre-orders. but maybe they don't expect to sell many because the prices are $600 and $1,000. The Ally by itself, which has less hard drive space, I think, and a slightly lesser chip inside of it, is $600. And the Ally X, which is the like premium model, is $1,000. That's a lot of money for a handheld.
Yeah.
I'm still interested in the Ally X. I might wait. I'm very much going to wait for reviews to see if it is comparable to the Steam Deck. Because if it can do everything the Steam Deck does, plus play everything else, it might be worth it to me to upgrade, but it's not going to be worth it for a lot of people to look into this thing.
Don't wait too long. The price will go up.
Yeah, that's true. that's the thing, right? It's like, and I didn't think of this till right now, Tony, when you were like, don't wait too long because the price. But it's like, what if I don't pre-order and they're like, and now it's $1,200.
Right. The flip side is you could wait and then the Supreme Court could say that Trump wasn't allowed to make those tariffs and the price could go down. You rip yourself off. So maybe don't jump too soon.
True. And I do have my Steam Deck. It's perfectly fine. Being able to play Xbox games on it natively at when I say Xbox, I mean like PC Microsoft games natively, plus Epic Store games without any issue, GOG games, EA games, all that stuff that doesn't work real well with the Steam Deck. You can get it to work. It just, you have to jump through some hoops. It would be nice to just be able to just like load it up and it work, but $1,000 is a lot of money. So we'll see how that all turns out. sticking with that. The this had just come right up sometime before we all talked about recording tonight and us actually recording. It hit that Microsoft has they've cut off Israel, specifically their military, from using their cloud service and their AI technology. They've been boycott since April due to being contracted with Israel and the Israeli military. But they claim that the IDF violated their terms of service by hosting their surveillance data on Azure. So they've killed the deal.
Oh no.
So I don't know if that's going to make the people that wanted them to stop working with Israel happy, but that has happened. They are no longer providing services to the IDF for their cloud services and their AI stuff, which their AI technology stuff was being used to like do facial recognition and stuff for their war. So
probably without them tracking down Palestinian leadership via Azure cloud services. Yeah, probably not.
not a great selling point for it. I mean, it might be for some people. Those people are world leaders looking to hunt their enemies, but for other people concerned about what's going on in the world, that's kind of a, you know, maybe don't let your stuff be used in that way. Make them create their own stuff.
Right. If they're going to do that, that's fine. Do it on their own time with their own technology.
And final thing here, it's not really news, but as you said, there is a bunch of new games that are coming out.
So many.
And we got some reviews over the last couple of days. Silent Hill F, I believe the reviews hit right after we stopped recording last week. That is holding a very strong 87 on OpenCritic.
Oh, that there goes my joke about it getting an F. It did not get an F.
No. That's like a strong.
It's like a B plus.
Yeah.
Silent Hill B+.
Yeah. So that, to me, that's a great score
for game for like any that game. Do not normally review well.
Right. And a game coming from Konami, who hasn't really released anything new. Or the one thing I think that they did release was like not well received, was specifically from them. They released like a Contra game that was bad. Not the Contra game Jeff and I played earlier. They outsourced that one. But all of their other stuff has been like remakes, like Metal Gear Solid Delta or Silent Hill 2 remake, or their collections, which have been well received, but their original stuff has not been good. So it's nice to see Silent Hill coming in with a decent score. And a good amount of reviews. There's 100 reviews on OpenCritic, so holding an 87, there's pretty good. Doing even better, though, is a game I think both of us have been excited for. Ghost of Yotai is holding an 89. Have you read anything on Ghost of Yotai?
I saw the Metacritic score. I haven't actually read any reviews, but the Metacritic score was enough for me. I put in my pre-order. I don't want to spoil anything. I love the first game. It was like, it's the only game. Ghost of Tsushima was the only game I ever platinumed.
Okay, that's so. You have a good outlook going into this one. I'd be very interested. I'm going to wait only because I've heard there are very strong similarities to Shadows, which I played 50 hours of.
Yeah, and you just played 50 hours of it. It hasn't been that long.
Yeah, I just finished it like a month and a half ago. So I'll be very interested to see, because you also have played Shadows this year.
Yeah.
Some of the similarities that I heard are, it's not that Sucker Punch was copying Ubisoft. Obviously not. These games are coming out like 6 months apart.
Yes, they were building these games at the same time with no knowledge of the other product. It's hilarious.
Just both have female protagonists. And some of the story bits are very, at least the opening story bits are very similar, it seems. Okay. And they both take place in the same, kind of like the same era. So very interesting that they're both out there. Really interested to hear what you have to say about Ghost when that comes out. Which next time we record, you may have played some of it. So. And finally, Final Fantasy Tactics, the remake of that, which is out early next week, is also holding an 89. Ooh. That's one I'm very excited for. I don't know how the voice acting is going to work. Didn't have voice acting originally, but
it has it now. Oh no,
it has it now. So
some things should not be done, but
yeah, we'll see. It's holding an 89. None of the reviews seem to be going like that's a sore spot. They're also not saying it's like a bright spot, but I'm excited to jump into that one when that comes out next week. So yeah, games are coming, and those games are reviewing very, very well. So,
yes.
No Earl, so we're going to skip Tomb Raider and the Cradle of Life this week. We'll talk about that when we return. And we're also going to skip our Mario 50th talk until we have Jeff and Earl as well. We're going to do a top 40 Mario games. Yeah, so that'll be happening, but it won't be happening next week. We did not announce this on the show last week, but we talked about it, and we're going to be going to an every other week cadence. Is that the right word?
That is the right word for
our release. Yeah, an every other week cadence for release. Just we're all a little bit older. We're not playing games as fast as we used to. We're not buying, like, one, everything's so much. We just talked about how everything's expensive. Like,
yes,
we're not buying the amount of games that we were because they're all more expensive. So to give us more to talk about, we're going to jump to every other week. But in there, like, Earl's going to continue making us watch, these shitty video game movies. We're going to be doing some Hall of Fame stuff. We'll be doing the Mario 40th. And it'll give us more to talk about. Because we are still playing games. Like, we're not playing games. It's just, how many times do you want me to talk about, I was playing Donkey Kong Bonanza still, or Assassin's Creed Shadows, or Jeff is maybe the most sporadic of all of us. He has the attention span of a gnat sometimes. So,
I could play Total War. Oh, and this week is Total War, and the week after that was also Total War.
And I like Tony's Total War talks, especially when he's talking about the Warhammer stuff, because all those different races are neat, and I like. But yeah, like, if we're just talking Total War every week, yeah, we can give you a couple more races at least if we spread it out.
That's right.
And you're going to play stuff like Ghost of Yotai.
Yeah.
I'm going to play stuff like Silent Hill. You know, Earl's probably going to play some Nintendo game that's coming out. So we will have stuff. If we spread it out a little bit more, we'll have a little. Yeah. So we'll kill it there for this week.
Kill it dead.
Yeah. It's dead. Dead episode. But thanks for listening. Like us on YouTube, I guess. Like, help us find our algorithm again. I don't know what's going on there. We're still on Spotify, still on Apple. When I do that correctly, Jeff yelled at me because I fucked something up and he didn't get it in his feed. VG Club will be recording this week, so we'll have an episode of that next week. And then we'll be back for an episode on, let me look at the calendar here. We're going to record on the 9th, so we'll have an episode that weekend, 10th, 11th, thereabouts. Ghost of Yotai, Final Fantasy Tactics, Silent Hill F, Kronos, whatever else Jeff is playing, and because his back hurts, but his credit card is still active, so he's just buying shit. So we'll have a bunch of stuff to talk about then. So join us then, Tony. Say goodnight.
Good night.